The message today is on waiting for the Lord for answered prayers and trusting and believing in Him. And what we'll do to kind of give you a head start on these things is to first tell us about Swaziland, who you're working with, what your both of your roles are there. I'm going to talk about some of the joys and the hardships there. And then lastly, in light of this passage, what are the things you're waiting on God for in prayers, and how you're learning to trust Him in that? So let's start with the question, just for everybody's sake, as a refresher, who you're working with in the missionary endeavor, and what your roles are there in Swaziland. So thanks.
Well, thanks for having us this morning. We're happy to be back in Escalon, certainly. Mandy and I, 2 years ago, went with an organization called African Leadership Partners to Swaziland, Africa. It's in the southern part of Africa. It's the size of New Jersey. It's a very small country. It's famous for two things. One, it's the last absolute monarchy in Swaziland. And second, it has the highest HIV/AIDS rate in the world, about 50% for children and about just over that for adults. We work at New Life Children's Homes. It's an orphanage, per se, that takes care of 42 kids that have lost not only their parents, but almost all relatives as well. And so as we work there, we have different roles. We don't live with the kids. We don't have kids ourselves, and thus we don't want to live with the kids. We're in very good training, and the three boys, Joe and Julie's three kids, the two boys and the girl give us good training for that. But we have different roles. My role is I direct the farm, and so what that farm does is it supports financially about 100% of the entire operation. So taking care of the 42 kids, we employ about 20 people, and four house mothers that take care of about 10 kids apiece. We have a number of different operations, from broiler chickens, we keep about 200 pigs, we do a vegetable operation, and this farm supports financially, and then not only that, but also obviously food-wise. As many of you in Escalon know, agriculture is a good industry to be in, even when times are challenging. So I direct that, and Mandy, I'll let her speak about the role that she plays.
We also have a school where we provide a Christian education for all of our kids that live at what we call the farm. And then it also provides an Christian education for about 40 children in the community as well. So my role there is I serve as the principal and also as a teacher at the school. So that's my primary duty. Every day you can usually find me over at the school in my classroom. And then we also do a few other ministries outside of our kind of day-to-day jobs, I guess you could call it. We do a youth ministry with the kids that live on the farm. It takes place as a chapel time that we do every week. And then we also have a high school youth ministry in the larger community where we work with children kind of from all sorts of backgrounds and experiences. So,
thanks for that. In our text for today, we had Zechariah, of course, was a priest, was a holy man, and they were righteous in the sight of the Lord. He and his wife were very much, Elizabeth, very much trying to follow his lead, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees. They were people committed to serving the Lord greatly, but yet there were difficulties. They were childless. They had wanted this for a long time, and you'd think that would make them bitter along the way, but they would continue to serve in the temple. And it's true that even the missionary endeavors, right, you go off with the sense of wanting to serve the Lord with all your heart, putting yourself in the midst of His path, but things don't always go as smoothly as planned, do they? Tell us a little bit about some of the struggles along the way.
I shared earlier in the Sunday school class, if we had known about some of the difficulties we were going to face, I don't think we would have been so eager to jump on that first plane. Not knowing what was laying ahead of us made that a little bit easier. In the first 2 years, or the last 2 years that we were there, we've experienced a number of difficulties, and some of those include being robbed 3 times, being in multiple car accidents, seeing friends and what we call almost family there die from HIV and AIDS. We responded to a very traumatic murder in our community. We've responded to suicide attempts and intervened in child abuse and sexual abuse. So the hardships that we faced, we shared that there's nothing that can really prepare you for those things. There's not a workshop you can go to that after you leave there, you're now equipped to handle all of the difficulties that you're sure to face and the challenges that God puts in your path. So it's been only through having the right perspective and focusing on what God's promised us in eternity were we able to really move through some of those things and not just endure them, but also be able to accept them as part of God's plan for our lives.
We also have a choice. So depending on the call, and we are very regular people, I don't want to put ourselves on the same field as Zechariah or others, but we do have a choice about how we respond to that and how we view God during it. Zechariah asks a question. He says, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure you've chosen me to do this? And we've asked ourselves that a lot, because often when things aren't going well, we look inwardly and we say, God, are you sure? Or are you sure you want us to do this? Or what's the next bad thing going to happen? Or why does this happen to me? Or have you even forgotten me? But he assures us that he hasn't. And he gives us maybe just enough and a glimpse of good things to allow us to know that we are heaven-bent and that we are made for something much greater than the challenges that we face, which are really momentary light afflictions, as Paul calls them, that we face here. And that is comforting to us and should be comforting to you all as well.
Have you found yourself waiting for things? Has this been an exercise in learning patience from God, or has things just trucked along fast?
It depends. No, I think sometimes we find ourselves waiting. Sometimes we find ourselves waiting to get out of the situations that we're in, right? And so the thing that we sometimes wait for is we wait to come home. And that's not always, or wait to get out. But that's not always very healthy, because then you're just waiting, and instead of really looking around and seeing what God is doing in that particular moment that you're in, that season of life that you're in. So we wait for God to do something sometimes, and there's a lot that we feel like he should do, and in fact, we have ways that we think he should do it too. but we do wait. We wait for justice to be had. We wait for kids to start making good decisions, as you know. As a lot in your family sometimes. We wait for men in particular and women to make good decisions in their marriages, because we see a lot of infidelity. But as we wait, we think that God's timing is good. And as frustrating that is sometimes, we know that he will, he does. He's in the process of redeeming. That's his job title, right? And so we have to trust that he'll do that. Can I answer that?
Lastly, in our text for today, it said that however long he waited, which is quite a long time, he and his wife, the Lord answered his prayer. So we have a God who listens to our prayers. Our prayers are specific. And, of course, he answers in his way and his timing. We want to be in prayer for you. What are your prayers right now? For the upcoming year, because I know you're going back, how can we be in prayer for you? What are your prayers for not only yourselves, but the people that you're serving there, that we can be in prayer for you and supportive of you along the way? And obviously, we continue to support them financially. We have cards in the back to help them along the way. But please, what are your prayer concerns?
One thing we found ourselves praying for almost every day in our new situation is just for the wisdom to handle some of the challenges that God's given us, how to best handle those. A lot of times you find yourself waiting for some specific direction from God and just wanting to really know what the best decision is or what to do next. When we first got there, our coworkers came home on sabbatical for about 8 months, so it was a long time, and we found ourselves kind of in this place with not really knowing what we're doing and having a lot of responsibility. And we realized pretty soon that even when they came back, we still found ourselves in that place wondering how we can have the best wisdom that God would want us to have. Another area that we are always needing prayer for is just for the spiritual development of the kids. We were able to see 10 of them baptized this year. But just, you know, we raise them in that environment, and many of you have probably raised your children in a Christian environment, but just hoping that at some point they really make it their own and decide to commit themselves to really living a life that's pleasing to God is what we're always praying for. I think that's why we're there. So always praying for that. And then we're also praying for some workers to join us in the field. We have a very significant need, especially for teachers right now. And so just praying that God will provide those. We've had to make some kind of scary decisions in faith that God will provide the teachers that we need. And so now we're just waiting for him to do that.
She's got it. Well, let me pray for you right now, and let's pray for them as a congregation along the way. Lord, we thank you for the way in which they're serving you in Swaziland, and we pray for your continued wisdom for them. Wisdom along the journey, wisdom in their teaching and their leading, in their work, wisdom in their relationships, wisdom in their travel. Lord, we thank you that you have protected them. Thank you that you have provided for them even when times have been very difficult. Keep them trusting in you at all times, knowing that the work that they're doing is laying seeds that they may never get to see, but some of which they have the blessing of seeing right now, particularly some of these wonderful children coming to know you. We pray for their spiritual development. We pray for continued baptisms, and for those to come to know Christ. And we thank you for their willingness to serve them. We pray, again, for the spiritual development of these children and for their parents, mothers and fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, to begin seeing in the light of the gospel not only salvation, but a light to their path, a light in which good and righteous moral choices along the way do not gain them favor with God, but gain them a joy that overcomes the sins that are chosen, that gives them a freedom from the bondage of selfish actions. We pray for that grace to unfold in the midst of their spiritual development. And we pray for continued guidance, for support, for your leading along the way, and for your continued hand of grace to sustain them. Thank you for them being here today. Our prayers continue to go with them as they lean into you to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's thank them for coming today. I appreciate it. And in light of what's been said, we can finish a little briefly here, is that in this Advent text in the Gospel of Luke, it is remarkable to see in Zechariah and Elizabeth the ability to wait patiently for the will of God to unfold in their lives. Theirs is a story marked by waiting and hoping in him. They had a longing to be filled, which was not theirs. And they had to come to terms with this harsh reality that their eyes may never see what their hopes were and what their hearts longed for. And yet they waited. In this season of Advent, we're reminded of this season of waiting. That we remember not only the people of God waiting for a Savior, we remember the Zechariah and Elizabeth waiting for their hopes and their dreams to be fulfilled, not knowing whether or not that would actually ever happen. We know ourselves the truth of waiting for God to make himself known, to show himself to be near, and to show himself to be a God who cares in the midst of the difficulties that we face. And many of us are waiting in this time of season right now. We're waiting for God to act. And the beautiful thing about Zechariah is that despite his disappointment with God, we find him in the temple worshiping. It's very easy to allow the waiting period to break into bitterness in our hearts, such that we give up on God altogether, that we separate ourselves from his promises, that we begin to move out and take matters into our own hands. And usually, impatience scripturally leads to sinful choices, that we want to make God's will unfold in a way that seems to make sense to us. And it usually has very devastating consequences to the life of the community, the life of the family, and the worshiping community as well, because it's, again, wanting to put ourselves in the place of God. And Zechariah does not do this. We see him in the temple worshiping God. Waiting is hard, which is why sometimes we separate ourselves from that. Sometimes waiting is hard, and so we end up just giving up altogether. And that doesn't mean that we've separated ourselves from the temple worshiping community. We could still show up and yet have no faith and no trust in God. We can still show up and go through the motions and walk out the doors and not trust in God, not believe in what he's doing, not put our faith in our trust in his promises, and be, in fact, two entirely different people. One who appears religious, and yet the other whose life shows no trust in God or hope in his salvation. This is not the case with Zechariah. We find him in the temple in the midst of his disappointing worshiping, and that is when God draws near and answers his prayer in a remarkable way. It's going to happen for you, Zechariah. Tell your wife, it's going to happen for you. But of course, for one who had been waiting so long, it's not altogether improbable that he would say, yeah, right. Gabriel doesn't like this at all, which is a real bummer because he stops his mouth, right? And you might think, is this a sense in which if you question God, that somehow he is going to punish you, that you have hard questions for the way in which things are unfolding for him, that he's somehow going to punish you for asking that question, taking away any kind of initiative that you have in wanting to know why it's unfolding the way it is. And the question is no. God is very much interested in our questions, our hard questions of faith, which we come to him and we ask him, why? But what God wants Zechariah to know here is that when he gives a promise, it should be trusted. And sometimes the enforced waiting period is the very thing that we need to help us to trust him. What a glorious thing that will unfold when that waiting period is over and Zechariah is able to see the birth of his boy, who would be John the Baptist, who would be the one who would prepare the way for the Lord, who would be the one who would point people to him. Behold, the Lamb of God, he would one day say, who takes away the sins of the world. That will be a moment when Zechariah holds him in his arms that he would never forget, that he would not need to put words to, but would in fact speak to his soul in such a remarkable way that he would no longer look back at the waiting. He would rather just see in the present the way in which the Lord had answered his prayer. If you remember, Mary asked a very similar question. We'll see this later. How can this be? We have a God who is capable of doing the impossible. The only caveat we add to that is that he does the impossible routinely, only in accordance with his will. his good and gracious will. And this is what the season of Advent teaches us. It is a season of absolute paradox, where the impossible can become possible, where the promises of God, which are thought to be silly hopes of human beings, actually have their fulfillment in a God who wants to fulfill them by not only his word, but his word becoming flesh. And the greatest paradox of all is that this God would become human flesh. It is the great mystery of our Christian faith, and one that we can never fully make sense of. How is an almighty, omniscient, omnipotent God above all become flesh in Jesus Christ and be God not above us, but now God with us? This is what Advent teaches, that God comes near, and he is promising to stay near to us while we wait. Are you waiting this morning? Are you struggling with unanswered prayers? Are you wondering if this is a God who will ever come near to you? Advent is this season in which we say, God's will is unfolding in our waiting. That God is a God who answers our prayers for our good, not so that we might simply have what we want. And that God is a God who is, even here right now where two or three are gathered in his name, very near to you. He asks you to trust him, to engage in the difficult discipline of trusting him in the midst of waiting. You are not alone. Zachariah and Elizabeth walked this road before you. Trust in this God who is near. And just see what he unfolds. For it'll always be good. Really good. Let's pray. Lord, if the greatest thing you've ever done is to take human flesh, to become among us, and to die for us, how good and great was that selfless sacrifice on our behalf? If you were a God who would do that for us, we know that you are a God who will also give us much more. A father who gives good blessings to his children. We pray for those who are in the pain of waiting. May they feel your presence and your nearness. We pray for those here who doubt. May you show yourself through your word to be true. We pray for those who are somewhat giving up, who aren't trusting, who are walking away from the temple. We pray that they would see the darkness to which they are heading, and be warmed once again by the light that burns off all the dross, that burns away all of our sins and imperfections, making us clean and holy in your sight. Help us to live in light of that. You are a God who has come near. Help us to trust you in it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?